The passage you read this evening from Luke's Gospel is, I think, very well known. The Lord Jesus was journeying towards Jerusalem, journeying towards that time whenever he would be betrayed and then he would be put to death. And as he journeys, he meets so many different people along the way, so many different men and women in all different conditions. And in this particular village that we have been thinking about here this evening or reading about, we're told that the Lord Jesus meets 10 lepers. Now let's think about what happened when Jesus met these 10 men, these 10 lepers. First of all, I want you to think about the condition of the lepers. Leprosy was and still is a horrible disease. We still have the leprosy mission based there in its headquarters in Lisburn, and they do a tremendous work amongst those who have leprosy. A skin disease mostly, which could travel over the body and was transmitted to others who would touch the infected person. So they were very infectious. We sometimes like to keep away from somebody who's got a bad cold in case they sneeze over us or something like that. But like nothing compared to this. Once someone touched another person with leprosy, it was quite likely that they would get the leprosy also. Do you remember last year or so, whenever that awful epidemic broke out in Africa, the Ebola epidemic, and we had pictures on the television screens night after night of the doctors and the nurses and the men and women working, and they were dressed and they were covered from top to bottom and they had to be hosed down in order to make sure that the disease wasn't transmitted to them. Those who were lepers had to be separated. That's why they shouted out unclean. They had to shout out. They were told. It was made by law. They were told, shout out unclean. If anybody comes near you, don't let them come near you. Tell them that you've got leprosy. And of course, whenever you think of this, leprosy is often used as an example of to illustrate how sin separates men and women from God. Just as the leper had no contact with his loved ones, no contact with anyone except other lepers, so men and women everywhere, because of sin, are separated from God. That's the consequences of sin. We always need to remember that sin came, and because sin came then, our first parents were put out of the garden, and there was that separation between them and God. The Bible tells us so clearly that all have sinned and there is none righteous, no, not one. All of us by nature are unclean. So in a sense, all of us can call out, I'm unclean because of my sin. I'm unclean as far as God is concerned. And there's no hope unless we are cleansed. Leprosy separated men from men, and so also sin separates men from God. But I want you to notice in verse 16 of these that we read together that this was a mixed company of lepers. Now that seemed maybe a strange thing to say. Well, mixed in the sense of nationality. One was a Samaritan at least, and the others most likely were Jews. But then we read in the Bible that the Jews normally have no dealings with the Samaritans. The Jews wouldn't touch the Samaritans, you might say, with a barge pole. They wouldn't want anything to do with them. They wouldn't be seen in each other's company. But these are lepers, you see. And they're together in their misery. Here are these men. One's a Samaritan who normally would never be in the company of Jews. And yet the Jews and the Samaritan are now all together. And there they are standing at the side of the road crying out together, unclean. And then when Jesus would come crying out to him, you see, there wouldn't have been any point in the Jews saying to the Samaritan, we are Jewish lepers and you're a Samaritan leper. We don't want anything to do with you. Go away. What would be the point of that? We won't have anything to do with you. Sure, if the king was dying in his palace of leprosy and the beggar was dying in a humble cottage, two or three miles down the road, and he's dying of leprosy also. Who's better off? Who's better off? Has the king an advantage? Of course he hasn't an advantage. He's dying the same as the beggar or the humble laborer is dying. And we have 10 men, you see, here in their misery. 10 men together, a Samaritan and 9 Jews. But whenever you think about this, as far as sin is concerned, what's the difference? What's the difference between a good church-going man or woman, a man or woman who's upright and full of honesty and so on, but yet that man or woman still hasn't trusted Christ as a Savior? A man or woman like the rich young ruler that Jesus spoke about, what's the difference between that man and the blaspheming rascal that hunts around the dark alleys of towns and cities on dark nights? What's the difference between any man or woman who rejects the Lord Jesus? One might be on the clean side of the road going to a lost eternity. The other is on the dark side of the road going to a lost eternity. But they're all going to the same place. They're all going to the same place. They're all together in their sin. I spent 14 years on the Shankill Road, and you know, the Shankill Road people normally wouldn't have anything to do with the people on the Falls Road. But what's the difference, you see? What's the difference between a loyalist on the Shankill Road who doesn't know Christ and somebody on the Falls Road who doesn't know Christ? What is the difference? There is no difference. All are without Christ because sin is universal. Whether it's a church-going man or a non-church-going man, whether it's the most decent and honest person you could find in the town or the biggest cheat you could find in the district, all are together unless they're cleansed, unless their sin is taken away by Jesus. That's the condition, you see, of the lepers, and that's the condition of men and women. These lepers were separated. They were unclean. But I want you to notice, secondly, their cry for mercy. You notice they didn't ask directly for healing, but they just simply lifted up their voices to the Savior and said, Jesus, Master, have pity on us. There's something very humbling about that when somebody says, have pity on me. Have pity on me. But you see, all of them knew their need. None of these 10 men had to be convinced of their dreadful state. They all wanted to be cleansed. They all wanted the leprosy to be taken away. They would have gone to any lengths, climbed any mountain to be free, done anything. You'd have said to them, I'm sure, Luke, go and work for 100 days without stop and work from morning to night. They would have done it if they could have cleared themselves of the leprosy. Jesus, Master, have pity on us. Their cry is directed towards the Savior. They must have heard, you see, how he had healed people. They may be blind, the blind man, or the people who are lame. They had heard these things, and now Jesus was coming down the road. Jesus was passing through their village, and this was the opportunity. Jesus, Master, have pity on us. Did they deserve pity? Do any of us deserve pity? Did these men deserve pity? These men knew they needed help. Do you not think there are plenty of people in our land today who go about and they have no conception at all that they need help? You say to yourself, how do you convince men and women of sin? How do you convince men and women that without Christ that they're lost? How do you convince them? All have sinned and fallen short. Surely no one needs to be convinced of this. But yet, to lift up our voice, to get a man or a woman to lift up their voice and say, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. No, not for me. Not for me. I'm not a really a bad person. I don't need that. So many are not troubled about their sin. They even make a mock of sin. You know, we need to cry as the hymn writer wrote all those years ago. He said, from depths of woe I raise to thee the voice of lamentation. Lord, turn a gracious ear to me and hear, Lord, my supplication. These men, it was a cry from the heart. Jesus, Master, have pity on us. Oh, that men and women would do it today, would acknowledge their sin and fall before the Savior and say, Lord, Lord, have pity on me. Save me. In your mercy, save me. But I want you to notice, thirdly, the voice of the Lord Jesus. We hear what the Lord Jesus said. Now, is there an example anywhere in Scripture, the Scriptures, of anyone coming to the Lord Jesus and genuinely seeking for mercy and being turned away? There's not. You'll not find one. Those who seek Him shall find Him. And indeed, the Lord Jesus is seeking as well. He's seeking men and women. He came to seek and to save, remember. The Lord Jesus never turns people away who genuinely seek Him. And he didn't turn these people away. But you notice He didn't go over and He didn't touch them. Was he saying to Himself that I would get leprosy? Not at all. He had touched other people who had leprosy. He didn't say, I will hear your cry and be clean, as He sometimes did. He didn't say that. But the cry for mercy was heard. Indeed, not only this cry, but every cry is heard. Him that comes unto me, I will no wise cast out. Isn't that wonderful? That no matter where the men and women seek the Savior, they will be found of Him. No matter where they turn to Him, He is there waiting, and He will come and meet them and save them. Him that comes unto me, I will no wise cast out. And you know what? But you see what the men were told in verse 14. Go show yourself to the shelf to the priest. Now, why do this? Why did Jesus do this? Well, you see, it was only the priest who could examine these men and see if the leprosy was gone. If you get an opportunity, read in Leviticus chapter 14, the Old Testament book of Leviticus. Find there what the law said about somebody who had leprosy. Somebody who had leprosy had to keep themselves separated and call out unclean. And they had to go and present themselves to the priest if they thought the leprosy was cured. And the priest would look at their arm or look at their face or look wherever it was, and he would say, yes, it's all gone. You're clear. You don't have to shout unclean anymore. That's what the priest had to do. He had to give the verdict that the leprosy was gone. But you see, it wasn't the priest that healed. We mustn't forget that. Jesus spoke. It was the word of the Savior. He cleansed. He healed. He made whole. Whenever He speaks, miracles take place. But the lepers have to be obedient. And as they set off to the priest, a wonderful thing happens. As they're going just away from the Lord Jesus, they begin to notice. Imagine them looking at their hands, their arms, their faces. The leprosy's going. And they're no distance away until they realize it's gone. The leprosy's gone. They heard the voice of Jesus. Jesus said, go and show yourself to the priest. What a joy to hear the voice of Jesus. Lord, have mercy. Lord, have pity on us. And he spoke in mercy. This is the voice that comes in mercy and power to cleanse away every stain. What a joy to hear that voice. I heard the voice of Jesus say, come unto me and rest. That's the voice to hear. That's the voice that any man needs to hear. I came to Jesus as I was, weary and worn and sad, and found in him a resting place, and he has made me glad. I heard the voice of Jesus. Oh, that everyone would hear that voice, and that their sin would be taken away. What a joy, what a joy. Rejoice if that is the case indeed. So we have thought about the condition of the lepers. They were all in the same boat. They were all seriously ill. We've heard their cry for mercy. It was all in unison. Each one of them cried out the same. We've looked at the voice of Jesus in healing. Let's think about the response. The response of these 10 men. The response of these 10 men. There were 10, remember. All with this terrible disease, everyone needing healing so badly. And as they go to see the priest, they realize they're healed. They know this themselves. They can see that the leprosy is gone. And what wonderful joy must have gone through them. They were healed, and all they had to do now was to get the all clear. It's like going into the doctor tomorrow morning. Maybe you've had a complaint for 6 months, maybe a year, and you go into the doctor, and the doctor tells you, it's all away. It's all away. All they have to do is get this all clear. And so 9 go on, and 1 returns to thank the Lord Jesus. Just 1. Let's think about the one who returned. Now, they mustn't have gone very far when this happened because they quickly realized what had happened. Now, the question is what to do now. Think of 10 men. What would you think happened? Do you not think there was some debate amongst them? Maybe even some argument. They were filled with joy, but what should we do? After all, they'd probably been living together for a long time, maybe some of them. They probably had this leprosy for maybe even years. But only 1 went back, and he was a Samaritan. How often you see the proper response comes from the one it is least expected. Isn't that right? How often the proper response comes from the one that is least expected. Why should the Samaritan come and not the Jews? Surely it should have been the other way round. The Jews prided themselves in their faithfulness. They prided themselves in their love to God. But it was the Samaritan who came back. And you know, that's not an isolated example in Scripture. Do you remember Jesus said to the Roman centurion, he wasn't a Jew. He said to him, I have not found such great faith, no, not in Israel. And do you remember when Jesus told the story of the man who fell among the thieves and said, who is my neighbor? It was a Samaritan who lifted the wounded man up and put him on his donkey and brought him to the inn. And do you remember in the Old Testament, in the time of Elisha, in 2 Kings chapter 5, we read of Naaman who had leprosy. There were many lepers in Israel at that time, but only Naaman was healed. And he was a Syrian. All strangers, all foreigners. But the Jews didn't come back. But here was this Samaritan. I think about this Samaritan. His heart must have been bursting with gratitude. His heart must have been bursting with love, falling down at the feet of Jesus. He was so thankful. So thankful. He didn't have to shout unclean now. He could go and fall down right in the at the feet of Jesus. So thankful. But let's think of the nine then, the nine. Why did they not return? Why were they so ungrateful? They were healed, but they went on, you see, they went on. How could they do this, you would say? How could they turn their backs and all they had to do was go back a short distance and speak to Jesus, to thank Jesus? How could they turn their backs on him and head their own way? But you see, the Jews were so used to the blessing of God upon them as a people. They took it for granted. They took the blessing for granted. They lightly esteemed all that God had done for them. Only the Samaritan was filled with praise. And what a terrible condition this is whenever this happens. To be blessed so wonderfully, to be blessed abundantly, and yet not return to give thanks. And Jesus asked, were there not 10 cleansed? Verse 17, were there not 10 cleansed? You see, if you did some great deed to help others, and they walked off without an acknowledgement, without even as much as saying thank you, if you had spent hours, if you had gone out of your way, if you had gone the second mile to help a neighbor out, a friend out, and that neighbor friend, our friend, walked away and just said, well, that's it, I'm away now. How would you feel? Would you be hurt? I'm sure whenever you would go home and think about it, you would be hurt. Do you think the Lord Jesus was hurt? Were there not 10 cleansed? Jesus was God, but he was also man, remember. He said, no one returned except this foreigner to give praise to God. I think there are so many people like that today. People who have received blessing after blessing after blessing, and yet there's so little gratitude to the giver. Don't we sometimes sing the hymn at Christmas or at harvest time? How shall we show our love to thee who givest all? How shall we show our love to thee who givest all? How should a Christian react to the wonderful grace of God in his or her life? How should, if you're a Christian tonight, how should you react whenever you sing at times Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me? I once was lost. When I think about that, I'm a Christian over 50 years now, but I once was lost and now I'm found, was blind, but now I see. I mean, you think of all that Jesus has done for you. When you think of his trial, when you think of his crucifixion, when you think of his beating, when you think of the spitting upon him, and he died that we might live. The blessings that are ours are more than tongue can tell. And we are redeemed through the precious blood of Jesus. How should we respond to that love? How should we respond? Surely it should be with praise. Day after day filled with wonder. Day after day saying, thank you, Lord. Day after day living for Jesus. I said to the boys and girls about the habit. You know, there's sometimes some people who profess to be Christians and they haven't even got the habit of coming to worship on the Lord's Day. Every Lord's Day. They haven't even got the habit. Like when I look back and I think, you know, what's the first thing you want to do? You want to say, thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. You want to say thank you for all your love and your goodness to us. The nine didn't come back. But one came back because his heart was filled with love. You know, in Luke chapter 7, we read of a woman who washed the feet of Jesus with her tears and she wiped them with her hair. Didn't she love him? Didn't she love him? The tears, the hair, loving, she loved the Savior. And Jesus said to the man who returned, the Samaritan, he said, "Your faith has made you well." He was not only healed physically, you see, he was healed spiritually. He went away rejoicing in salvation through faith in the Lord Jesus. Oh, tonight, listen, if you're a Christian, never cease to praise him. Never cease to praise him. Because we have a wonderful Savior. But if someone tonight is not a Christian, I want you to think seriously of all the blessings that you receive each day. Because God has been good to you, and there's not a person in this meeting house tonight who can't say that. God has been good to you. He has been good to me. Oh yes, you've had your ups and downs like I have. You've had your sicknesses like I have. But God has been good to you, and you know he's been good to you. Good to each one of you. And every blessing you receive, you know, points you. Every blessing you receive, every day you get up, points you to the fact that God has been good to you. When you get up tomorrow morning, don't take it for granted. Remember, God has given you the strength to get out of bed. He has given you the health and strength. And he desires that you would come to him. He came to save people like you and me. Paul said in Romans chapter 2 that the people there, he said, they did not know that the goodness of God was to lead them to repentance. They didn't know that the goodness of God was to lead them to repentance. Were there not 10 cleansed? I wonder tonight, will there be someone here, and you will have to admit, I'm still one of the 9, because I've never come to Jesus. I have taken all that he has given to me. I have taken all that God has given to me, but I have never come to Jesus. You still want to say, I will have my way, and still go away from Jesus. Oh, what is your response tonight to the love and mercy that God bestows upon you? Only one came back. He understood. Anyone who truly understands his sin and the wonderful work that the Lord Jesus has done in his or her heart will always be found giving thanks. I joyed when to the house of God go up, they said to me, it's not hard to come to worship whenever you love Jesus. Let me tell you, it's not hard to come to worship whenever you love Jesus. And the person who loves him will always be given thanks. The 10 lepers, 10 were healed, yes, but one was healed spiritually because he came back and he said, thank you, Lord, for all that you've done. Listen to how John Newton put it in one of his hymns. He said, for mercies countless as the sands, which daily I receive from Jesus. My soul, what canst thou give? For mercies countless as the sands. And you have received mercies that have been countless. I have received them, which daily I receive from Jesus. My soul, what canst thou give? Do we give ourselves to him? Is he our Savior? Have we fallen at his feet and said, Lord, forgive me. Cleanse me. Come into my heart and take away my sin. To know such a wonderful Savior. Let's pray. Our gracious and eternal God, we do thank you for your word. We thank you for the one who came back and said thank you. And we pray, Lord, that in this house all would want to come back. All would want to say thank you, to rejoice in your love, to praise you for all that you have done for us in Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen.